And then the following year, I became a regular.
What season would that have been?
60, I think that was the year when I had my first county cap.
November the 11th, 1961, so it'd be 61, 62.
Okay, there you are. Yeah.
At Bridgewater.
That's true.
At Bridgewater.
Okay, yeah.
And you're won by 1 point.
Yeah, and Larry Watts kicked the penalty with the crowd baying in booing.
Even in those days.
And he turned round and signalled to the crowd as the ball went away between the posts. The tremendous kicker Larry was. And earlier on in the game, Peter Ford was captain, I think, that day. But I made a break and gone up the middle in. I got tackled about a yard short, and as I hit the ground, I was so disappointed I thought I'd stay down for a minute. And Fordy said, "If you don't get up," he said, "I'll kick you." Because he was a great believer that if you're in attack, you don't feel an injury. Yeah. If you're in defence, if you get injured, stay down and have a rest. You can have a rest, and then the momentum from the opposition will go, and you can start again and maybe clear your line. And
you see it in the professional game today, don't
you?
Very much.
And Peter Ford used to very often say to me, if I went down, he'd say, "Stay down a minute, we need a rest." Yeah. And that was what we'd do. He's injured again. But it was 9 times out of 10 Peter Ford telling me to stay down, you know.
So how did it feel to run out at King's Home for the first time?
I don't think, well, the first time, I mean, it didn't register. It was just, you know, it was like a blur. The whole game went, I mean, the excitement leading up to the game was just incredible, because it was something from a boy I'd been watching from the wooden stand with my dad. And then you run out there with all the people that you've watched play, you've admired, and the crowd, which, I mean, even to this day, the Sherdu were so knowledgeable, and I think still are. They were behind the team. If you didn't play too well, they let you know it. But it was a tremendous experience that one day. And then, like I say, I became a regular the following year, never really forgot the privilege of running out on King's Home. I look back and think I was pretty lucky.
I've got in here, John, a printout of the honours boards, that are over in the Lion's Den, the other side of the ground from where we are today. And I thought it might be an idea to just put these in front of you to help trigger memories of, if you'd like to pass comment about any of the players you see here and any incidents you remember with them. If you start, I think 60-61's at the bottom.
Well, Alan Holder was a talented player, played centre, 10, fullback, not very big, but he was quite mean. He was a very, very hard tackling player. Dick Smith, well, I mean, he could sell a dummy to his own mother. I think he had the best dummy I've ever seen. I used to play with him, and he would run up to a player and he would virtually touch them, and he would still sell them a dummy. And we would be playing Lydney, who knew him, Molesley, Leicester, Coventry, and he'd go, watch his dummy, and he'd still sell the dummy. And I did play in an England trial against them, and we'd gone up together with his dad, Dick. His dad was Dick as well. And he was in the opposite side. And I was playing centre, and Dick was over the side, and took the ball from the back of the line out, and he ran up the middle of the pitch at me, and I'm thinking, he's going to try to sell me a dummy. No, he won't. Yes, he will. And he came up to me, and he went on his outside foot, And so I hit him, and as I hit him, he passed it. And I think he went up in the air, the ground was so hard, and we both had a bit of a bump out of it. And going, he said, "What the hell did you do that for?" I said, "Well, I went through my mind four times, whether you would or whether you wouldn't." He said, "I wouldn't have tried to sell you a dummy in England trial." I said, "But I just couldn't be sure." And that was quite amusing, because we were friends for years in Terry Hobson. Probably the best kicker of a ball I've ever seen down there. Mm. He would kick the old ball from our 25 to under the clock with a spiral kick. Just incredible kicker.
Yeah.
Tremendously quick. Over 20, 30 yards.
Beautifully balanced, wasn't it?
Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, we all had a whinge about his temperament here and there, because on his day, I mean, he probably should have played, he could have played for England on many occasions with his ability.
Mm.
And possibly, or probably, had he played for a London club, he would have done.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the type of player he was, you know, with a London club, with somebody pushing him, I think he would. He would have gone a long, long way.
It seems to be a common refrain amongst, his teammates that he was such a good player that they were frustrated that he didn't play at his best all the time.
Well, he was frustrated because he was a perfectionist, and if the ball didn't quite come right to him, he would be a bit irritable and annoyed, and he put his hands on his hips and what the hell do you think that was occasionally. And you know, and I remember once I used to tell him I learned to kick left footed by clearing up behind him when he didn't bother to pick it up, you know, because we've been friends a long time. But I remember once he took a ball and the open side came at him, he checked him left, he went right, and he kicked the ball, it went under the clock spiral, it was beautiful on a good day. And a crowd erupted and said, "Fuck it, these people, they'll clap anything." That was because he was just so good. I mean, he didn't, his kicking, I don't think he realised how good he was, you know. And I think that frustrated me with Terry more than anything, the ability that he had. And sometimes I didn't think he realised how good he was.
What was it like playing alongside him? Did you know what he was going to do?
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a good rapport, and he used to very often give me the ball a little bit late, and I used to wind him up that he was giving it me because he couldn't do anything with it in the end. But no, it was lots of times I asked him to give it me as late as he could, and then I could run the line that I wanted to run. Because lots of times now, these players are taking the ball on a crash ball, but they're taking it 8 yards back. And so by the time they get the ball, they've got 8 yards to run into. Yeah, they're running hard, but everybody knows which way they're going. But with Terry, he would give me the ball probably a yard away from the opposition, and I would take the angle that I wanted at that time, whether I ran into the man or ran back against the arm, and he would give it me late. The only thing I would say, very often he was so quick that I had to pinch a yard on him, because if I was led deep and he straightened and went, he could be on his own. He was that quick. He was really, really a quick player. But like I say, he had the best hands of anybody I've ever seen, along with Eric Stevens. I mean, Eric could catch anything, you know, and I think I've only ever seen him drop one catch in my life, and that was on a cricket pitch. And, you know, he used to kick the ball, you look back, if he had plenty of room, he didn't need to go back and worry he was going to drop it, because he didn't.
Yeah.
Good hands, good kicker, Eric, as well. And we've been friends again a long, long time. Peter Meadows, I mean, son of Don Meadows. We made our county championship debut together. Maybe not. I know we went in the side together after beating, I think Peter scored 3 tries on the left wing, and they told me I never passed. And we went into one county side anyway, together. We got in the county side together as very young people. And he was a tremendous sidestepper, Peter. He started his scrum half and finished up on the wing because it was such a quality amount of scrum halves down here with Gary Mace, Johnny Spalding, Mickey Booth, Bill Beamish. You know, I mean, all good quality players who would have got into a lot of first-class teams regularly. You know, John Spalding was probably the most talented scrum half from a line-out I'd ever seen. You know, he almost seemed to know which way the ball would give a bounce. And he just one pass, no pace, was gone. Yeah, brilliant player. Gary was very much Gary Mace. Very much a Gareth Edwards type, really. You know, very big, very strong, with a long pass, and it would attack the base of the scrum more. Whereas Mickey was more tactically astute. Would have a little dart here and a little dart there, and very brainy, Mickey. He read the game very well. Yeah, tremendous reader of the game. I mean, George never played with.
Sorry, George, who's
George Hastings.
All right.
Yeah, George Hastings I didn't play, but Tony Ricketts in Baggy I played with, two lovely people. Tony Ricketts, I wasn't here at the time, played in Gloucester's longest winning run, longest amount of winning games, and he played in the second row there, although he was a prop. And it was a most unusual thing to see Tony Ricketts in the second row, because he was only about 5'11", 6 foot tall. But obviously they used Roy Long as a line-out forward, and threw the ball to the back a lot, and used him for scrummaging, and he was such a good footballer. You know, he was a running player, and not a lot of people associate Gloucester forwards with being runners, but Tony was a very good player. Never played a lot with Bob Timms. We had about 2 years together, but Bob was long and leggy and as awkward as anything to tackle, but he packed up early, and I could never quite understand it, really. But self-employed in those days, like I was, really. And you know, Reggie Chamberlain, well, Reggie was understudy to Cyril Thomas. He was a legend down here as a hooker, and Cyril I played with, and I was amazed. I think he retired at Christmas. He just had enough and called it a day. Reggie came in for the rest of the year, and then I think Mike Nichols came down